for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, June 29th, 1986. 4th of July week, family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. I will lift my hands unto the Lord, praise His name forevermore, and continually offer up a sacrifice. I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. I will offer up a sacrifice of praise. I will lift my hands unto the Lord, praise His name
a wonderful presence of praise and worship and the presence of the Lord in this place. And unless you enter in and determine that I will praise the Lord, there will be nothing for you. Everyone around you will be blessed, and everyone around you will seem like they're receiving something and you're receiving nothing. You'll only receive as you determine that you will enter in to praise and worship the Lord. Then will you also receive back from the Lord that which you give unto Him. So this morning, really press yourself, push yourself to enter in to praise and worship. Maybe you've never been in meetings or service like this before in your life. Maybe you've come from a church where there's never been a praise and worship like this. Make yourself enter in and become part of the praise and the worship that's due, the admiration that's due unto the Lord Jesus today.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, you can't partake of the food at the table unless you enter in and sit down. You can't partake of God's blessings unless you enter in and praise Him. He says to praise Him and to offer thanksgivings and praise to Him. Then He's blessed. and as he's blessed, he blesses back. He gives you back 100-fold, not just a little bit, but 100-fold. And it's as you give out, it's what you'll get back. When we lift our hands, it didn't say hand, it said hands. It said lift up the hands that hang down and strengthen the feeble knees. And if your hands aren't able to be lifted up, somebody can help you. Somebody can help your hands lift up. Lift them to the Lord this morning. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. You're my all. You're my Lord. And I lift my hands to you this morning, Lord. And I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name, Lord. Yes, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name, Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Lord. Oh, la barasili and la baconda, la barasili and la barasanda, la bahaya, valor sai. Kilabarinde, la barosonda, la bahaya. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. We praise and magnify your name. We sing praises to the King of Kings. Glory to his name we bless.
Sacrifices of thy presence. By the word of the Lord,
It's beginning to rain. Cried the voice from the Father. Sing her so after me, I'm drink of this water. I promise to pour and I share it out on your swords and your dogs. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. If that ain't you rain, it's beginning to rain. Cry the voice of the heart. Sing her so ever, I'm drink of it. I promise to pour out my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. Come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. You may feast that Jesus tape all the time. He fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Come and dine, the master called, come and dine. All you have to do is eat. You may feast that Jesus table all the time. He fed the multitude. Hear the hungry call us now. Come on and dine. Come and dine, the master call. Come and may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He fed, turn the water into wine. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want much more. Fill my fill it up.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Number two is mine, if I'm not allowed to. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he is greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Jesus is his name. Amen, amen. And where there's praise and worship, there is the presence of the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Well, last night, Brother Tommy talked about along the lines of the fear of the Lord. And he taught us concerning the fear of the Lord. And we need to understand the fear of the Lord. We need to realize that we need to fear the presence and the glory of the Lord. We need to desire it, and we need to fear it. There needs to be a godly fear in our hearts and our lives concerning the things of the Lord. For today, the Lord is preparing a people for the kingdom. Now, he's been preparing people for the kingdom ever since Adam and Eve, actually. There wasn't very many that qualified from Adam and Eve up to Noah. There wasn't very many qualified from Noah up until the children of Israel. But he's been always preparing a people for the kingdom. Now, the people that he's looking for the kingdom are those that he can use to rule and reign in the kingdom. That's who he's desiring and looking for. A people that he can trust the kingdom with. And my desire is that we will be a people and that you will desire to be one of those that he can trust to rule and reign in the kingdom. And if you can't be trusted today with the word of the Lord and to rule over that which he's given you today, how will you be able to rule over much? If you have 5 talents or 10 talents today, how can you rule over 100 or 1,000? But the day is coming when that requirement will be required of us. And my concern is that we understand the requirements of the kingdom. That we understand that there is a people that God desires for that kingdom. It's called the army of the Lord. And that army of the Lord is a people who take discipline without griping and complaining. Who will receive discipline and who will abide by it. Who get all the rebellion out of them. Rebellion is in everybody. And rebellion causes people to do things contrary to the word of the Lord. Now, it seems to me like this is ringing back just a little bit. Am I right or wrong? It's okay then. They tell me it's just me. All right. Well, turn with me this morning over to Amos chapter 3. Joel and Amos. We're going to look through some of this extensively here this morning. In Amos chapter 3, it's between Jonah and Joel. You can't find it. Amos 3 and verse 7. It says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets." And today the Lord is raising up some prophets in the land that the Lord is revealing this hour and time unto. And we will have some of those prophets here during this camp meeting. They are here, and there will be more here. And God is revealing the hour that we live in and the time that is upon us. And we need to take heed to these things that God is bringing in revelation. David Wilkerson is a prophet that God is revealing things to that are about to happen in this hour. So the Lord tells us here through Amos that the Lord will do nothing, but that he will reveal his secrets first through his servants, the prophets. Then, over across the page in chapter 5 of my Bible, of Amos, verse 14, it says, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. So, all through the Bible, we find that God says there's a remnant. There's a remnant who will be faithful unto him. And I trust here this morning that we have a multitude of people here that are part of that remnant who are faithful to the Lord, that the Lord will be able to use. The remnant of today that he can use for his namesake. Therefore, the Lord, the God of hosts, the Lord saith thus, wailing shall be in all the streets, and they shall say in all the highways, alas, alas. And they shall call the husbandmen to mourning, and such as are skillful of lamentation to wailing. And in all vineyards shall be wailing, for I will pass through thee, saith the Lord. Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light. So the day of the Lord, when it comes, will not be a day of joy, a day of rejoicing, and a day of merrymaking. Now, tradition, we have a lot of things that tradition and the churches of today are teaching us that are contrary to the Word of God. And they're teaching us that the day of the Lord is going to be a great day of rejoicing and joy and glory and sitting down at the supper of the Lamb, and we're going to have a great time. I cannot find in the Word of God where it teaches that. My understanding is that the day of the Lord is a day of sorrow and great lamentation and wailing and the day of the Lord. And that day of the Lord will be what brings in the kingdom. It will usher in the kingdom. But it will be a day of God's vengeance upon the earth. And unless we're covered and protected and stand in the power of the Holy Ghost, we will not be able to stand. Therefore, if we want to stand in that day, we must adhere to the word of the Lord, and we must abide by the word of the Lord so that we'll be able to stand in the great day of the Lord. And we all want the day of the Lord to come, but we don't understand what the day of the Lord is. We've been taught by tradition and by ultra-faith teaching that it's everything is glorious and everything is speak it, and you. My Bible doesn't teach me that. My Bible says that sufficient to the day is what God will supply to us. He won't give us everything we want. He'll give us what we need. And we'll only get that sometimes if we're faithful unto him. We may not, but if we're faithful, he will supply our needs. Now, if he supplies your wants, then he does that so that you can bestow it for the kingdom, not for your own selfish wants and needs. But because when the minute that you have it for your selfishness, no longer is it the Lord, but then it's from the satanic side, and Satan is able to supply things just as well as the Lord is. And he'll supply it if he thinks that he can supply you and give you everything you want, and then it'll cause you to turn it on yourself and think, oh, how happy I am and all of this because I've got what I want. He will do it for you. Satan will do it for you, but it'll not be from the Lord. But I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't. Also, he will also do that if you have a right spirit and a right attitude, and you want it to glorify the Lord and to use for the kingdom. Because the Lord does need those who have means to support the kingdom. And if you have means, then he intends for you to use those means to support the kingdom. That is your calling. God has called people to have means to support the kingdom. He's made them able to multiply finances. And to those that he's given that, then I pray that they'll be faithful so that they will be a faithful steward. That their 5 talents will be 10, and their 10 will be 100, and their 100 will be 1,000, and their 1,000 will be 10,000. Because it will be for the kingdom's sake. Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, verse 14. It says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. And I trust that we will not be those that are in the valley of decision. I trust that those that are hearing me today will be those who have determined in their heart that they're going to serve the Lord, they're going to walk before the Lord, they're going to walk by his word to the best of their ability, they're going to study, they're going to search the word and hide it in their heart, and they're going to study to show themselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, who will be rightly dividing the word of truth for the gospel's sake, that Jesus may be glorified in and through us as we testify in our example, that we will not be those that are found in the valley of decision.
We'll be those who know where we're going, know what our calling is, and will follow after that calling. Now, we're not all called to the same calling. We're called to a multitude of callings. We're called to be faithful in that calling wherewith we're called to. Irma and I are called mainly to a ministry of helps. That's what we've been for the last 20 years. We've been a ministry of helps. And that's what we're basically called to, a ministry of helps. Well, I'm not called to be an evangelist. I'm not called to be a preacher as such. However, I do speak, but I don't feel that's my calling. I feel that I'm called to a ministry of helps, to the body of Christ, to the army of the Lord, to those who God is bringing forth to put Satan underfoot, the army that he's raising up, that in my name they shall cast out demons, they shall set the captives free, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And they shall raise the dead, because it shall be done in the name of the Lord, and as we follow after and make Jesus Lord of every area of our lives. But we've all got a long way to go yet in making him Lord of our lives. We've all got areas in our lives that we haven't fully yielded to the Lord Jesus. Because when we come to the place where we're like Jesus, then we'll be able to, just even our shadow will raise up those who are sick and crippled as we walk by. The Lord's going to have a people who will arrive at that place in this hour and day. And I desire to arrive there, and I desire for you to arrive there. I desire for you to seek to arrive to that place in the Lord where Jesus is Lord of everything that you possess or ever will possess or ever desire to possess. That it will be for the kingdom's sake and for the glory of the Lord. That you will use it for his glory. There's nothing wrong with having things. There's nothing wrong with flying cars, with airplanes, with nice homes, and all of these things. If our purpose is for the kingdom. And if it's for the kingdom, the Lord will be more than happy to supply it and give it to us. But if we're faithful to use it for the kingdom's sake. Chapter 1, verse 13. It says, gird yourself. Make ready for war. Gird yourself. And lament ye priests, how you ministers of the altar, come and lie all night in sackcloth, you ministers of my God. For the meat offering and the drink offering list is withholden from the house of your God. Sanctify you a fast, call a solemn assembly, and gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land into the house of the Lord your God, and cry unto the Lord. No one is excluded, says all the inhabitants. Gather into the house of the Lord and lament and fast and call on the Lord and repent and turn from our wicked ways and walk before the Lord in holiness and righteousness. Alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. And God's judgment will come and is coming upon America. You say, oh no, God wouldn't do that. No. God has to do that. You say, why does he have to do it? Because where sin abounds, there his judgment must also be. And no place in the world has pornography and the filth come the world, not America, but the world, as it has come from America. No place has it come. And America has supplied more liquor and more tobacco and these things to the world than any other nation on the face of the earth. We ship it to every nation on the face of the earth. Therefore, this nation that's called our godly nation, our Christian nation, must be judged for its ungodly acts and deeds. It must be judged. Our God is not God, and he is not a righteous God unless his judgments come. But he also says that in that hour that he will place his hand over his people and he will protect them. We do not have to fear the judgments of God. We rejoice in the judgments of God, because as his judgments come on the earth, so will the day of the Lord come, and so will the day of the kingdom come, and so will the king come, because Jesus cannot come until that day of judgment comes upon the earth and upon America. And you say, oh, I don't want to think about that. Well, it's not a matter of thinking about it. It's a matter of a fact. It has to happen. God's judgment is sure. Just as his grace and mercy, so is his judgment. He judged the children of Israel. The ground opened up and swallowed them. Fire came down and devoured them. They fell 20,000 in a day for this and for other sins that was committed. And the fire went forth throughout the camp. And the Lord sent the priest forth with the sword to slay their own brethren in the camp. God's judgment came to the children of Israel. God's judgment has to come to the children of Israel today. It has to come, or God is not a just God. And His Word says that the children of Israel are an example for us today. And if they're examples, then we that example also that His judgment must come is as true as His grace and mercy and His goodness and kindness and His care for us. That has to happen in the land. God's judgment has to come so that the day of the Lord can come forth also. It says, the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. So it comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from Satan. Satan has nothing to do with God's judgment. However, God, I believe, does use Satan to bring some of his judgments in the land and even judgments upon us as we rebel against the word of the Lord and we do things contrary to what God's word is as we know better and yet do that which is contrary to the word of the Lord. And Lord, help us that we become overcomers and overcome the areas of our lives wherein we are taken up with things that are contrary to God's word and that we don't obey the word of the Lord. Help us to desire to be overcomers. Amen. Chapter 2 of Joel. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. And today, here, and this week, here at this camp meeting, we're going to blow the trumpet in Zion. We're going to sound the alarm. We're going to sound the alarm in the holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble. And we all need to tremble. Everybody needs to tremble at the fear of the Lord, at the judgments of God. For the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spreadeth over the mountain, a great people, a strong, and there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. That's God's army that He's raising up today, that He's preparing. And I believe, I can't give you a scripture for what I'm going to say, but I believe that some of those that have gone on, when this day comes, that they'll stand in rank with us here in bodily form in the army of the Lord, that they'll stand here in rank with us to walk through the land. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The powers of Satan will be bound, and the demons will be bound, and nothing will escape the army of the Lord. The land will be cleansed as they go through the earth. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horses, men, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. They shall keep their rank. They shall be satisfied with the place that they have. And they will fulfill their calling. Neither shall one thrust another. And they shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Hallelujah. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up on the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. Nothing shall be able to escape the army of the Lord. Nowhere will man be able to hide from the power and the authority of God as it comes through the land. And the land shall be cleansed of all of the satanic power. The earth shall quake before them, and the heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army, for His camp is very great. For He is strong and executeth His word. What does He execute? His word. What is His word? The scripture is His word. That's the law. This is what the judgment shall be by. This is the word. And Jesus is the word. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? None can abide it except those who are washed in the blood and protected by the Holy Spirit. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn you even to me with all your heart, and with fasting and with weeping and with mourning. And rend your heart and not your garments. And turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Today his mercy is extended unto us. We can find grace today. We can find mercy today. So today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to turn to the Lord while his grace is extended unto us before his wrath is poured out. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify them, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. None are exempt, from the youngest to the eldest. None are exempt in calling upon the name of the Lord and gathering together to sanctify themselves unto the Lord. None are exempt to the youngest, even those that suck the breast, the children. Let the priest, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Amen. So, the Lord says that we're to be concerned about the household of faith. That first of all, we're to weep and cry over the household of faith. And then, as the Lord leads you to the heathen, to go to the heathen. But first, we're to be concerned about the household of faith, about those who profess to know the Lord, about those who claim that they're born again and that they're walking after the Lord. But we need to weep and cry after those, that they will come to a place of holiness and righteousness before the Lord, that the traditions and the abominations of the church, as we know it today, will be washed out of our subconscious mind. We are bound, even me, as much as I studied the traditions, I still in ways know that I am bound by some of the traditions that have been inbred in me from my teaching in the church and my upbringing. I am bound by these traditions of man. And we need to be able to sort these things out and separate ourselves from the traditions of man and the traditions of Babylon, which is the harlot system of the church, Babylon. And that tradition is interwoven through us, whether we want to believe it or not. It's interwoven through us. It's interwoven through us in the way we celebrate some of the holidays that are called Christian. There are things in that are absolutely demonic, and yet we partake of them. They're traditions that are contrary to the Word of God. They're traditions that are an abomination to God, and yet we don't separate ourselves from them because we think that they're of the Lord. So we need to search our heart and search these areas and seek out the things that are contrary to the word of the Lord. I don't like to use the word Easter, but yet it's almost impossible to get around sometimes using it, because when you say Passover, people are so brainwashed by tradition and by the church that they don't know what Passover is. They don't realize that Passover is what tradition calls Easter. And the very word Easter is an abomination to God. That word is an abomination to God. It's almost like blaspheming his name, the word Easter is, because it's such an abomination to God. And yet, we all use the word Easter. And we send Easter cards, and we have the Easter bunny, and we have Easter rabbits, and the Easter eggs, and we partake of these things, the ducks, we partake of these things, and it's an abomination to God. And we're so ignorant and brainwashed that we don't realize it. But if you search it out and find out the meaning of these things, you'll see that it's enough to make God vomit us out of out of the kingdom because we participate. But because of his grace and his mercy, he's been gracious and merciful to us and allowed us to get away with it. That's really what it's done. We've gotten away with it. But he's not always going to allow that. And to the kingdom people, he will not allow it. To those who he's called to be part of the kingdom, we must separate ourselves from these traditions and these abominations of Babylon. And if you don't separate yourself from it, the Lord will separate you from him. I won't say you'll lose your salvation, but you'll certainly not be part of those who rule and reign in the kingdom. And I want to be one of those who rule and reign with the Lord in the kingdom. I want to be one counted worthy to reign with the Lord. And not just be one who's going to get into the kingdom and be able to be there by the, you know, as the saying goes, the skin of my teeth. And that will be a horrible way to be in the kingdom. To be able to look and know what you could have attained to, what you could have had in the kingdom, and then see the place that you are. Help us, everyone, to strive to attain unto all that we can attain to in the kingdom, so that we will arrive at the place that God has for us in the kingdom. And that throughout eternity, we'll look up and see the place that we could have had, and then we're not able to obtain to, because we didn't strive to enter into the kingdom. Chapter 9 of Amos, verse 10, backs up here what I'm saying about the kingdom and obtaining to a place to rule and reign. It says, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword. Now, it's not talking about the heathen. It says, my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. And that is a teaching that's going across the nation today. That God's judgment is never going to come on America. That's being taught in some of the big faith churches today. That eventually, and I hope that this part is true, and I'm believing for it, that eventually the people of the Lord are going to become the president, are going to become all the senators, and they're going to become all the judges, and that slowly America is going to be converted to the Lord. And that the evil is not going to overtake America, and no judgment is going to come on America, because God's people are going to slowly take over all the positions and take control of everything, and there'll be no judgment come on America. Now, I can't find that to be scriptural, but that is being taught in a lot of our large faith churches today, and I disagree with it. Because God says that the day of the Lord is a day of darkness and sorrow and judgment. And that day is the day of the Lord. And when that day comes, then, but I trust and hope, and every time there's somebody that runs for an office that's a Christian, I'm going to vote for them and I'm going to work for them. Because the more we get in there, the better it'll be for us today. And it'll help. And I'm for every bit of help we can get. And I hope for another president who's spirit-filled, who walks after the things of God. And I hope for judges on the Supreme Court bench who profess that they're spirit-filled. And I hope for judges throughout all the land that are the same, and for congressmen and senators and for governors of the land. I hope for all of them that are spirit-filled men and women. That I would love to see. And I will work for every one of them that I know that's their background. But I'm not going to say that that's going to bring in the kingdom, because God says that His judgment, the day of the Lord, is a day of gloominess and darkness and sorrow and crying and wailing. So, and in my understanding, that day will be brought in by the army of the Lord, by the sons of God, by the manifestation of His power, by the power of the Holy Ghost that will be manifested through His people in the land. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 1, verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the Lord, the voice of the day of the Lord. The mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. A day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out as dust and their flesh as the dung. That sounds like war. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath. But the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of His jealousy. For He shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. And then He says in chapter 2, Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. before the decree bringeth forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. Seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. So the Lord's calling for Israel to seek his face, to seek, to rise up to the heights of Mount Zion. And we rise up unto that place as we come and praise and worship and magnify the Lord, declaring and making Jesus truly Lord of our lives. As we come to a place of magnifying the Lord, where his protection and care will be about and over us in his day of judgment. Isaiah chapter 59. Yes, excuse me. I turned to the right place, but I... Zephaniah, not Zechariah. Isaiah chapter 59. Should have hollered a little louder, Bill.
Well, I was waiting.
Isaiah 59, verse 1. It says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, my sins, have hid his face from you. He will not hear you." We need, if we can't hear the Lord and can't find the Lord, then we need to repent. We need to call on the Lord to cleanse us and to wash us, and that there be nothing between us and the Lord that keeps us from an open heaven where we can call on the Lord, that our sins will not keep his face from shining upon us. Verse 13 says, "In transgression and lying against the Lord, and in departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, rebellion, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." You know, rebellion. Rebellion is rampant in the land. It's in the older folks, the grandparents. It's in the adults. And how can it help be in the children? You know, when we have the youth groups here, why, it's easy to see rebellion. But it's also rebellion in the adults as well. Now, you know, if you rise up and rebel because you're told where to sit to eat your lunch, then you need deliverance from rebellion. If you're in rebellion because you're told to set the seat straight and to pick up your tray and put it away, then you need prayer for rebellion. If there can't be, there has to be authority, there has to be commands, there has to be discipline in the household and the army of the Lord. And where are we going to learn it if we don't learn it here? If you don't have it at home, then we need to learn it here. And if you're going to rebel against it here, what are you going to do when God calls you in the army of the Lord in that day of the Lord? Are you going to rebel against his commandments when the sergeant or the corporal tells you to do something? Are you going to rebel because you're not the sergeant instead of him? I wonder. What are you going to do when the general tells you something? Oh, you'll listen to him. But when the corporal tells the private something to do, You think you don't have to pay any attention? Yes, you do. There is no difference between the corporal telling the private than the general telling the private. The command of chain of command is exactly the same, and he has at that time the same authority as if the general was telling you. And you have no right to rebel. You have no rights. And we've got to learn that. And we don't want to learn that. And we rebel against learning it. But we've got to learn it. Because if you don't learn it, God can't use you in his army. We all want to be part of that army of the Lord, the great day of the Lord. We want to be part of that army. But we've got to learn to obey the little things as well as the great. In doing the little first before you ever get an opportunity to do the great. What verse did I leave off on? 13. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Fault finding. Fault finding. Of course, nobody finds fault. Everything is right. Everything is perfect. Nothing is wrong with anything. Nobody finds fault. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. And he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. And today, the Lord is wondering where the intercessors are. He's wondering why he has no intercessors. Now we'll turn to Ezekiel. Chapter 9 of Ezekiel. He cried also in mine ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, even every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the higher gate. The number of man, the time that we have arrived at, 6,000 years, the number of man. But also, there was actually 6 men here. The way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. And every man his slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood before the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherubim, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, or through the midst of my church, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, or the women, or the young men and women, or the children, that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite. Let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly, old and young, both maid and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. So the Lord is looking for intercessors. He's looking for those that he can use for his namesake. He's looking for those that will sigh and cry for the abominations that are done in the household of faith. He's looking for those who will be, who will put their time in crying and sighing for the church of the living God. For those that need cleansing and washing, there needs to be those who are intercessors crying and sighing for them in your prayer chamber. And the Lord is looking for intercessors. But to those who are intercessors, they will be marked and nothing will be able to come near them. There will not be anything be able to harm them in any way. Oh, you may be partakers of it in a way. But you're just as Paul, he suffered many things. But the Lord assured him that they couldn't take his life. And the same will be with us as we become intercessors in the household of faith. We may be partakers of the tribulation and partakers of the things that the world may throw against us. But the Lord assures us that they'll not be able to take our life as we become intercessors. And the Lord is looking for intercessors in the household of faith. Revelations. I want to finish reading that. And it came to pass while they were slaying them, and I was left, that I fell upon my face and cried and said, oh, Lord God, wilt thou destroy all the residue of Israel in thy pouring out of thy fury upon the Jerusalem or upon the church? Then said he unto me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceeding great. And the land is full of blood, and the city full of perverseness. For they say, the Lord hath forsaken the earth, and the Lord seeth not. And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their ways upon their head. Now that doesn't sound like love, and grace and mercy, does it? That sounds like God's judgment upon the people of the Lord. And I thank God for His grace, and I thank Him for His love, and I thank Him for His mercy. But we must be prepared for the judgment of God. We must realize that God has two sides and that His judgment is just as heavy as His grace. Or if we were to take a scales, God's judgment weighs exactly the same as His grace and mercy weighs. There are no difference in the scale. One side balances the other exactly perfect to the millionth of an ounce. And even finer than that, God balances His judgment against His grace and mercy. And we need to understand that. Revelations chapter 7. Revelations 7. And we find here this repeated again, only in a little different manner. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So those who are the servants of the Lord will be sealed in their forehead. And I'm not looking for a pie in the sky. I'm looking for the seal of God in my forehead so that when these things come, I will have the protection and the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon my life, and they will not come near me. These things will come. We've been taught, I'm sorry to tell you that I cannot find in my Bible what I have been taught all of my life, and that's a rapture such as I have been taught since I was a child. I cannot find it in my Bible. I can find God's judgment. I can find the coming of the Lord. I can find all of these things, but I cannot find where God's people are going to be taken away somewhere where God's judgments are on the earth. To the contrary, I find that God's people are going to administer those judgments. Now, they're going to administer the judgments of God in behalf of the Lord Jesus to put all of His enemies underfoot until, and then can He come. I read that we're His battle axe to do His work for Him and to bring in submission to those who rebel against God and to bind up the powers of Satan and to bind up the demon forces so that Jesus can return and that the kingdom can be presented unto Him. That's how I understand the word. Even though I was taught different than that, Bible school taught me different than that, my tradition taught me different than that, and all those in the past, ministers in my life until the last few years, have taught me contrary to what I see the word of the Lord say today. I want to read to you from Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning with verse 22. But rather you have approached unto Mount Zion, even to the city of the living God, the head of countless multitude of angels in festal gathering, and to the church assembly of the firstborn, who are registered as citizens in heaven, and to the judge who is the God of all, and to the spirits of the righteous, the redeemed in heaven, who have been made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator, the go-between, the agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and a nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. So see to it that you do not reject him or refuse to listen to and heed to him who is speaking to you now. For if they, the Israelites, did not escape when they refused to listen and heed him who warned and divinely instructed them here on earth, revealing with heavenly warnings his will, how much less shall we escape if we reject and turn our backs on Him who cautions and admonishes us from heaven? Then at Mount Sinai His voice shook the earth, but now He has given a promise. Hallelujah. Yet once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the heavens. Now this expression, yet once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created, in order that that which cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us, therefore, receive a kingdom that is firm and stable, and cannot be shaken, and offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship, and with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe. For our God is indeed a consuming fire. I notice here it says with modesty. I'm going to say something there that comes to my mind about here at the campground, and especially about the young people. I do not want any shorts worn in this auditorium. I do not want any sleeveless T-shirts or blouses worn in this auditorium. And when you young people go swimming, you girls, wear bras, that's fine. But you're to wear a T-shirt with sleeves and shorts. No swimming suits. Turn with me to Joel, Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him of them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them. He's going to take care of us and look after us in the days when his judgments come on the land. I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. And I want to be one that God discerns as one that serves the Lord. I want to be one counted worthy of the kingdom. I want to be one that the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I desire that every one of us hearing the sound of my voice, that will become the desire of your heart, from the youngest here to the eldest. If it hasn't been, you will make that the desire of your heart, that the Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But it will only be as you determine to serve the Lord, as I determine to serve the Lord. No other way will you arrive at that place, or will I arrive there, unless I determine that I will serve the Lord. I want just to turn over to Joel chapter 2. Joel chapter 2. See, the problem is if I make a mistake and say and misunderstand or say the wrong heading here, I still know what page I'm going to turn to. So when I turn there, I don't realize that I have said maybe Job instead of Joel. But if you think I do that, why, somebody call me quick on it so I can correct myself and help all the rest of you. I don't mind. I'm not past being corrected. Verse 29 of Joel 2. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit, saith the Lord. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And we've seen all of that with the with our travels into space. We've seen all of that scripture fulfilled. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, and I'm a whosoever and so are you, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, the place of praise, and in Jerusalem, the church, or place of peace, shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. And today, the Lord is calling a remnant out of his people. He's calling a remnant. He's putting a desire in their heart to serve him, to be a kingdom people, to be a people who desire to serve the Lord and to walk after him in righteousness and in the fullness of all that they can understand, and to hide his word in their heart that they'll not sin against the Lord. The Lord is doing it. You know, there has to be a people that God can use, but only can he use those who desire to be used. And there has to be a people who will bring judgment upon the earth with a rod of iron and who will be his battle axes. And they have to be people to rule and reign. And the only way that you can rule and reign is by this word. This is the only way that you can rule and reign is by this word. And unless you learn it, unless you hide it in your heart, unless you know it, you'll not be able to rule and reign. Because we have to rule by this word. And as I have said before, and I'll say it again this morning, if the Lord gave you one of the countries of Central America to rule over, how could you go there today and straighten it out? No way could you straighten it out except by this word of the Lord. By the word. That is the only way that this world will be straightened out. And it will be as we declare, it is written. And by that authority, it is written, will we have the power to rule and reign in the name of the Lord. We'll be given cities, we'll be given counties, we'll be given states, we'll be given countries to reign and rule over. And we have to be able to know the word of the Lord and to rule it according to thus saith the Lord. Obadiah, which is over just four or five pages towards the book of Matthew here, from it's between Amos and Jonah, the book of Obadiah. Verse 17 says again, "But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it. Sin shall be abolished. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead, and the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath. And the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Zarephath, shall possess the cities of the south. And saviors shall come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." Hallelujah. Amen. Leviticus chapter 18. So the Lord is calling us for a preparation for His army. He's working on us to get the rebellion out of us. He's working on us to get us cleaned up and holy so that He can use us for His glory. So that we can be a glory unto the Lord. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 4 says, "You shall do my judgments and keep mine ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God." Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctifieth you." So the Lord doesn't ask us if you want to keep His word, if you want to obey it. He says, "You do it." He doesn't say, "Would you like to do it? Come on now and let's do this. Think about it a while." He said, "Do it." And that's what I say to all of us today. His word says that we shall keep His statutes and do them. I'm saying to us today that we're to study the word of the Lord, we're to apply it to our hearts, and we are to do it. He doesn't say, "Do I want to? Would I like to?" He says, "Do it." And that goes for every one of us hearing my voice, under the sound of my voice today, or whoever hears this tape. He's called us to do it. Don't say, I'll think about it. I'll consider it. I might do it. He says, "Search my word, hide it in your heart, and then do it." Revelations chapter 22. I don't consider this two books. I consider this book to be one book. I consider it the same from the very first verse of Genesis to the very last verse of Revelation, that it's one book and that it applies as one book. And here we find in Revelation chapter 22, and with this we'll close. Verse 11. "He that is just, let him be unjust still. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still." Not going to change his ways. If he's not going to change, then just let him alone. Don't waste your time with him. Waste your time and spend your time instead of wasting it with those who want to know the word of the Lord, who want to follow after righteousness. "And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in to the gates, through the gates into the city." And that's my desire for every one of us present here today. That we will desire to enter in through the gates into the city, and that we will keep His commandments. Jesus must have thought it was very important, for He ended the book with the statement to keep His commandments. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your word this morning. Help us to seriously consider it. Help us to search your word to see if these things be true. Help us to hide them in our heart, that we'll be worthy, Lord, to be counted as one of those that you will use in your army in that great and terrible day of the Lord that's coming upon the earth. Father, help us to count it a privilege to be counted worthy. Help us to desire to be counted worthy. Help us, Lord, to do all this within us, Lord, to cleanse ourselves, to walk before thee in holiness and righteousness, that we may be a holy people, walking before thee for thy name's sake, that we may be a testimony to those about us, that they may see Jesus in us by our actions, more so than our words, that our very actions will magnify and glorify the Lord, that men may know that Jesus lives within us because they see him in our acts and in our deeds, more so than in our words. Father, help our words to be such that they will not be anything that will sin against thee. Help us to guard our mouths and the very thoughts of our imaginations of our mind, Lord, that we'll turn it at the gate and we'll put the blood to cleanse and wash and sanctify us, Lord, of anything that passes our mind that will be contrary to thee. And we'll be a holy and a righteous people walking before thee, that the kingdom, thy kingdom come, and thy will be done in my heart, in my life as it is in heaven, for that you may be glorified in and through your people. And I praise you for it today, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Marching on, I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. A sound of praise, a sound of war. The army of the Lord, the army of the Lord, the army of the Lord. Marching on.
How many have never heard that song before?
Hallelujah.
Glory. You have to do something with this song.
I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord.
Yes, hallelujah.
A sound of praise, a sound of war. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord, the army of the Lord is marching on.
All right, let's do it right there.
Hallelujah.
You have to do something. You've got hands. It's a praise and a sound of war. When they go into the army, when they walked around the walls of Jericho, they were very silent. And on the seventh day, there was a tremendous shout. And what came down? What came down? The walls of your life can come down this morning with a tremendous shout from the Lord. We want to do this according to the word. And you know, in the army, where's the brother at that's in the army?
Daniel,
you come up here. I want you to march. We usually do a Jericho march, but I don't feel like we can do it right now. But we are going to be doing a Jericho march and a victory march before this camp meeting's over. And we have loads of songs about Joel's army. So we're going to learn some songs about the army of the Lord. Like Brother Miller was preaching this morning, you are the army of the Lord. And as we do it, Dan, you stand right here. Hup, two, three, four. Hup, two, three, four.
I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. A sound of praise, a sound of war, the army of the Lord, the army of the Lord, the army of the Lord is marching on.
Let's get it now. Come on. Amen. Come on, the organ, sister. All these musicians get up here. Oh, you know, before the battle, they always had the musicians and the praisers to come forth. How many want to tear down walls this morning? The walls of our life, we want to tear them down today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on.
Nada.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we be, where do you go? Where did the marcher go? You got the marcher? We had the sergeant this morning, but we got the captain tonight, this afternoon. Okay, let's go. Hop, two, three, four. Hop, two, three, four. Hop, two, three, four. Hop, two, three, four. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. A sound of praise, a sound of war. The army of the Lord, the army of the Lord, the army of the Lord is marching on. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. A sound of praise, a sound of war. The army of the Lord, the army of the Lord, the army of the Lord is marching on. You got it! I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. A sound. Hey! War! The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.